rest of the story. Charlie was dying. He was barely 25 years old, a private in the United States Army serving in Cuba, the Spanish-American War. Young Charlie was in the medical corps. Back home, he'd worked in a drugstore. Remember that. Back home, he'd worked in a drugstore. So here at the front, his knowledge of medications was valuable. The plague in those parts was fever, and Charlie got it with both barrels, yellow fever complicated by malaria. Charlie was dying. To doctors back then in the autumn of 1898, such fevers were still mostly mysterious. It was pretty much up to the patient to cure himself. Most patients did not. For the doctors ministering to Charlie, there was no question that the young man's life was lost. Shortly after midnight, he lapsed into unconsciousness. One of the physicians took Charlie's pulse and shook his head and said, "Good as dead." Charlie's name was entered on the casualty list, would appear in the next day's newspaper as yet another fever victim. But it was just as the doctors were agreeing that Charlie, now unconscious, would soon be permanently so. It was just at that moment that the Army private departed the war zone for the Twilight Zone. Suddenly, Charlie felt free. It was as though he were poised at a corner of the ceiling, looking down at his own apparently lifeless body, looking down at the doctors and the nurses, watching everything they did, hearing everything they said. One physician was making out a report, another giving an order, two nurses were talking, saying, "What a shame." The whole matter seemed strangely unimportant to Charlie. He had seen and experienced enough misery, he was glad that it was finished, but then Charlie was overcome by an unpleasant sensation, an inexplicable instantaneous awareness that if he did not return to that ravaged body, it would be as though he had failed some sort of an examination. And the next thing Charlie knew, he was feeling pain again. His body felt heavy again. And with that, he heaved a sigh. One of the doctors jumped, actually frightened. And then he called out to his colleagues, "He's still alive." And as the young man's breathing grew stronger, it became obvious that he would stay alive. To the physicians and the nurses, he would later accurately, explicitly recount what had occurred during his supposed unconsciousness. And many weeks in the hospital would help Charlie recover his health, although his attitude toward living would never be the same. Now, one of these days, each of us is going to die, and nobody, except through faith or speculation, has any way of knowing precisely what that means. Charlie had what some are now calling an OBE, an out-of-body experience. The supermarket magazines are brimming with similar first-hand accounts. But what happened to Charlie happened, well, before it was fashionable, 83 years ago. And this much else we know. Young Charlie was never again afraid to die. From that night on, he was filled with a sense of purpose and with the determination that whatever he did, he would do the very best he knew how. When he got back home, he decided what years remained would not be spent as a drugstore employee. Charlie would own his own drugstore. Charlie would own his own drugstore. Maybe the next time you visit his establishment, and you will, you'll think of the born-again enthusiasm that made it possible. I hope you'll remember the 25-year-old private in the United States Army Medical Corps who perhaps previewed Kingdom Come, only to return from the brink of death to give this world and himself a second chance. Charles Walgreen. Now you know the rest of the story.